Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in the shoe, but the sun is a crisp but a moon.
And hello there, good evening to you, and welcome to the Astronomy Show right here, 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm John Dixon, and Ben will be back next week, on my own this week again, so he's on a mission. So you can also catch us live on the internet at dublincityfm.ie, or at astronomy.ie, or even as a podcast if you're like listening to podcasts. And a very special welcome to those of you joining us on astronomy.fm across the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, we welcome any queries, comments, or questions that you may have of an astronomical nature, of course. You can email us at astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. The text and WhatsApp line, both the same number, 087-179-1032. Love to hear from you. And I can see it on the screen in front of me. So a very good evening again, and welcome to the show. Now, just running quickly through the planets at the moment. Mercury, unfortunately, is out of sight, deep in the sunrise. Venus also lies very low in the southeast during dawn. It's difficult to see as well. Mars, 1.3 in magnitude, remains also in the deep of sunrise. Not looking good so far. Saturn, magnitude 1.0, it's disappearing into the sunset glow as well, so it's not so good either. Uranus, magnitude 5.7. It's still there. It's to the upper left of Jupiter at the moment, and a telescope at high power. It's only a tiny but distinctly non-stellar ball, a very, very narrow. Neptune, 7.9. It's disappearing into the evening twilight as well. So the really only one to see at the moment is Jupiter at the moment, minus 2.3 in Aries, and it's a big bright white dot in the sky southwest at dusk, and it's slipping further over towards the west southwest later, and it'll be setting in around 11:30ish. And in a telescope, Jupiter has in fact shrunk by to 38 arc seconds wide, which is quite narrow for that particular planet. So just on a quick run through, the only one really to see up there at the moment is Jupiter. If you want, you may just catch Venus in the morning time, and it's slightly difficult to see compared to extremely difficult to see amongst the rest of them. So over the next coming months, we hope to get a better view as they come into our evening skies as well. So let's have a little look at where the space station is. That's the International Space Station. Tomorrow morning, it will have a 1 minute pass at 4:21 a.m. if you're up that early. It's quite low in the sky, 21 degrees just above east. And if you'd like to see it 90 minutes later at 5:54 a.m., which is a more civilized hour, that's tomorrow morning again for 5 minutes, 60 degrees up, so it's quite high. And it's 27 degrees above west, so a good chance to see that as well. And the 29th, you can get to see it at 5:08 a.m. So really, the passing at the moment is for early morning passes. And it comes back into our night sky, or evening passes, in March the 14th until March the 28th. I'm looking forward to that, because it seems like ages since the last one happened as well, which is not good. Now, sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:16 a.m., setting at 18:00, which is 6 o'clock. And on the 29th, it's rising at 7:13 and setting at 18:01. So we're getting and gaining about 4 minutes and 10 to 4 minutes and 11 seconds per day of extra daylight, which is considerably better than it was a few months back, where it was only down to seconds at around Christmas time. So there we go again, 7:16 tomorrow morning and 7:13 the following morning as well. So looking forward to that, getting brighter and brighter, get the grass cut and all sorts of things. Now, the moon, where is it at the moment? It's 92.8% lit at the moment, and it's a good bit away from us at 405,191 kilometres away. and it is setting later on at 8:23, which is not that far away, another hour or so, and it'll rise again at 22:38. I beg your pardon, it'll set at 22:38, so 08:23 in the morning. And it's fun to watch that because it's a waning gibbous just at the moment, and I'd love to see it in around this time just to see how much of it we can actually see when it's rising and when it's setting as well. So there we go. Just to remind you again, March the 14th to March the 28th for the International Space Station. Now, this time last week, we heard about this 2.3-ton satellite falling to Earth. It was decommissioned and went out of working time in 2011. And seemingly, just not so long after the program last week, onlookers were baffled as a very bright fireball turned green was actually spotted over Ireland. Now, most of it was seen in Northern Ireland, although they do say that some people down in Waterford and Cork saw it as well. So they're presuming that this was the 5,000-pound satellite or the 2-point-odd-ton satellite. And I'm just looking at the picture here. It must have been mind-boggling to see it because I missed it, unfortunately. But it seems to me that this was the defunct satellite. Now, did any debris survive the fiery re-entry? We're not quite sure. It also was spotted, believe it or not, over Italy, and it came down last Tuesday and late in the evening, and the exact time and place, because it was uncontrolled, was not exactly known at that stage. It fell into what they think was the North Pacific Ocean from Alaska down, and most of it burnt up. The path of, we won't call it totality, but the width of the whole spray of burnt up bits and pieces was tens of kilometres wide, and with a very, very low risk of hitting anybody here on land as it went into the sea. So they reckon the biggest piece was about 52 kilos, which is no mean feat, and you don't want any of that coming anywhere near where people or habited areas are. The chances of it hitting anybody was 1 in a billion. And considering that 71% of the Earth is covered with water, it was quite lucky that it did make its fiery entry back into the water around the North Pacific. Unfortunately, don't know an awful lot about this, which is really amazing. So they're out there at the moment, I would imagine, trying to pick up any debris that might have got back. So luckily enough, most of it did burn up. But an odd bit of it would have come through. Now, just slipping up towards the moon and the Intuitive Machines, this is the Odysseus lander, tipped over on the moon during its, what they call the spicy lunar landing. But the history-making spacecraft seems to be in good health and its mission continues. So, what happened to the American spaceship to the moon since the Apollo era is more than likely lying sideways following a dramatic landing. And the company that built it said last Friday, even as ground controllers worked to download data, which they still are doing, and surface photos from the uncrewed robot. So it is sending back a few photographs here and there. And they reckon that just before it touched down, it hit something on one of the corners of its landing craft, bits and pieces. And Thursday at 6:23 p.m. Eastern time, which is 23:23 GMT, which is our time, and it seemingly gave them a nail-biting final descent when the ground teams had to switch to a backup guidance system and took several minutes to establish radio contact after the lander came to rest. So it looks like it's made a successful landing, but unfortunately it tipped over sideways as it just landed and just pivoted over, and at the moment it lies sideways, but there's nothing really to take photographs of it to show us exactly. Now, we probably have to wait for the LRO, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, to time its photographs so it can take a few photographs in the coming future. And it'll be interesting to see if it can see exactly how it is looking. Now, February, last week again, 24th, we had a February full moon, and it was known as the snow moon, and it rose as a mini moon, I suppose you could call it, although the bigger ones that we're more interested in are the supermoons, but the fact that the moon is so much further away than normal for the supermoons, so it's 400 odd thousand kilometres instead of 300 thousand kilometres away. They called it the snow moon, and they nickname it as a mini moon, although there isn't really a recognised astronomical term for a mini moon. It just describes the fact that the moon looks a bit smaller due to its distance from Earth. So that's what happened last week as well. So that was interesting. I did get to see that, but it's not quite as dramatic as seeing a full supermoon as well. So now, space exploration in our time. There's a new paradigm which is taking shape in the space industry as the countries and entities accessing space continue to grow and diversify. Now, I did look up the word paradigm earlier on. It's spelled P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M, which some of us might pronounce as paradigm, but it's not, it's paradigm. And what it explains in the dictionary, it's a standard or a perspective or a set of ideas. For example, the discovery of universal gravitational became the paradigm of successful science. So it's an example of a pattern or a theoretical framework of a scientific school or discipline. So paradigm for short seems to work for me. So anyway, let's go back to where we were. A new paradigm is taking place in the space industry as the countries and entities accessing space continue to grow and diversify. The dynamic landscape creates both competition and potential for scientific collaboration, as well as the challenges and opportunities of progress. So the last decade, for example, humanity has seen the birth and expansion of a commercial space sector with new private players addressing technological challenges from space launch to communication and satellite imagery of Earth. So it's realistic. It's the standard that we're becoming known to recognize. Lots of news, of course, with the American spaceship returning to the moon and landing sideways as well. But on the Japanese side, the Japan's slim moon responds after the outlasting its lunar light. Now, if we remember a couple of weeks ago, the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency said very early on Monday that they regained communication with the Smart Lander for investigating moon exploration vehicles after nearly a month. So the way the moon was lying, it was out of the shade, out of the direct sunlight from the sun. They were worried at one stage that it wouldn't be able to recover because the battery packs might have gone. But seemingly, everything seems A-OK. Although, it's lying almost upside down as well on the surface of the South Pole, and confirming that the spacecraft has made it through the lunar light and maintained communication capabilities, which is great. So things are looking bright for things that are on the moon at the moment. Now, moving closer towards Mars, or further away towards Mars, the Ingenuity Mars helicopter snapped its rotor blade during a hard landing last month. I don't know whether many of you caught this particular one. It had quite a hard landing, which broke one of the four blades. And the helicopter itself only weighs about 1.8 kilograms, so it's journeyed, of course, to the red planet with NASA's Perseverance rover. It was grounded for good after suffering a hard landing during its January the 18th flight. And the new observations by Perseverance just show how rough that touchdown was, and makes it a little bit more easy to understand why Ingenuity is now a frozen feature on the Martian landscape. Now, unfortunately, that looks like it for the little helicopter, as one of the blades broke off. So it's unfortunate, but it did do quite a lot. It had something like 30 different flights. It flew away from Perseverance, and then Perseverance caught up, took a few photographs, came back and flew around for a bit of fun. And it certainly was an experiment that proved very, very successful as well. So on that note, India now plans to include a helicopter on its next mission. And it's including a helicopter that follows in the footsteps of NASA's pioneering Ingenuity drone. Now, They're currently working on the concept, which would fly along with the Indian Mars lander sometime around the 2030s. So it's not next year, the year after, or even the year after that as well. India's first mission, if we remember, to the Red Planet was the Mars Orbiter mission, known as MOM, also nicknamed as Mangalyaan. It was launched in November 2013 and entered orbit around Mars in September 2014. And the spacecraft conducted science in orbit around the Red Planet for 8 years before contact with Earth was lost in 2022. It's very easy to forget some of the other stuff that's going on there if it's not mentioned week by week. Now, we can sneak out a little bit further, and we don't often hear too much news from the James Webb Telescope, and seemingly it's finding bits and pieces of an ancient galaxy larger than our own Milky Way, and it's actually threatening to upend cosmology altogether. So, at this stage, astronomers believe the first galaxies formed around the giant halos of dark matter, but now the newly discovered galaxy, dating to roughly 13 million years ago, mysteriously appeared along before that process should have occurred. Now, where did this come from? They just have no idea. But the James Webb Telescope, JWST for short, has found a galaxy in the early universe that's so massive it should not even exist, and it poses a significant challenge to the standard model of cosmology, according to the study of authors. And the galaxy is known as ZF-UDS-7329, and they reckon it formed about 800 million years into the universe's 13 billion lifespan. So it's quite interesting to read all that, and no doubt something will come up from that over the next coming weeks as well. Anyway, you're tuned to The Astronomy Show right here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. John Dixon here. Ben will be back next week, back from his mission away, and looking forward to that as well. Now, why does a VR headset on the International Space Station really make a difference? And it's mainly aimed at astronaut exercise, and astronauts can now get a bit of simulated fresh air while working out in space. And a virtual reality headset paired with a new exercise bike sets the ISS astronauts and lets them experience their favourite cycling routes on Earth. This is great. Denmark's Andreas Mogensen, for example, has 5 routes to choose from in locations ranging from Copenhagen to Svaningbakar. And it's usually one of his absolute favourite activities on board is to get on the exercise bike. Now, they have to do this to keep muscle sort of in shape, and it's good fun as well with the VR on the end. So, yep, VR gets the International Space Station, which is wonderful. So we'll keep an eye on that, see how things get on. No doubt they're going to take turns into who's going to use it for the longest and who's going to keep fittest for longest, but they must spend at least 4 hours a day exercising up there just to keep their muscles in tone. Now, if we all remember the DART impact, and they now reckon that it might have reshaped Hera's target asteroid. So ESA's Hera spacecraft for planetary defense is being prepared for its journey to the distant asteroid moon Dimorphos, orbiting around its parent body Didymos. And one of the first features Hera will look for is the crater left on Dimorphos by its predecessor mission, DART, which impacted the asteroid and was trying to deflect its orbit, though it worked very successfully. Yet, the new impact simulation study reported in Nature Astronomy suggests no crater will be found, and the DART impact is likely to have remodeled the entire body instead, which is a significant finding for both asteroid science and planetary defense as well. So on September the 26th, 2022, NASA's approximately half-ton DART spacecraft impacted the boulder-covered Dimorphos asteroid at a speed of 6.1 kilometers a second. So that was no mean feat to get it in at that quickly. So it showed experiments in the kinetic impact method of asteroid deflection, which was successful. Observations from Earth show the 11-hour, 55-minute orbit of Dimorphos around its parent asteroid Didymos was shortened by about 33 minutes due to this impact. And although they're not exactly sure, it's in around 33 minutes, and they have a level of uncertainty of plus or minus a minute or so, which it doesn't really matter as well. So they still don't know how the asteroid as a whole is reacting to the spacecraft impact. They're still doing the calculations, and no doubt information will hit us in the coming future as well. Now, New Horizons, NASA's New Horizons, speeding through the outer edges of the Kuiper Belt at the moment, almost 60 times farther away from the Sun and the Earth. The New Horizons Venetia Burney Student Dust Counter, otherwise known as SDC, its instrument is detecting higher than expected levels of dust, the tiny frozen remnants of collisions between larger Kuiper Belt objects, and the particles kicked up from these objects being peppered by microscopic dust impactors from outside the solar system. So they reckon that the Kuiper Belt itself is much, much bigger than previously thought, and it's a good bit away from us. It's about 60 times further away from the Sun and the Earth. So it's really new information that's coming up there, and it'll be exciting to see exactly what they will detect, I suppose, because there's asteroids and there's all sorts of things up there as well. And everything is just starting from the beginning of the Kuiper Belt, where Pluto, the Pluto system is, which is a good long way out. Unfortunately, Pluto no longer a planet, but that's just one of those things. But seemingly they're still hunting for Planet 9, and no doubt they think they have it, but they're just not sure at the moment. So spreading way, way out, further than Pluto, is the Kuiper Belt. So you don't want to be there. That won't be funny, because there's lots of stuff in that as well. Now, just staying out a little bit further, where Uranus and Neptune are, and the system has some new lunar members, which is the first new moon of Uranus discovered in more than 20 years. And it's likely to be the smallest, as well as two new moons of Neptune, one of which is the faintest moon ever discovered by ground-based telescopes. Of course, as the years go on, our telescopes get better and better and better. And the discoveries were announced by the IAU, that's the International Astronomical Union, in the Minor Planet Center. So these three newly discovered moons are the faintest ever found. And these two ice giant planets using the ground-based telescopes, which is remarkable for the technology that we have here with the, I suppose, the atmosphere creating ripples and waves and deflecting this, that and the other as well. So it's harder to see through our atmosphere out into deep space. So there we go. So they reckon they're only about up to 8 kilometers wide, some of these. So they're very, very, very small, and they're out a long, long way indeed. Now, if you're ever thinking about going to space and don't want the drive in the spacecraft, the thoughts of the G-forces and everything else, Space Perspective, this is the new firm, and it's nearly ready to fly tourists on its luxury balloon rides near the edge of space exclusively. And the CEO, Jane Poynter, says she is undoubtedly going to be one of the company's first flights. And I think if you organized all that, I think you're quite entitled to be able to do that. Something I'd like to do as well, although a rocket would be good fun too, I think. And if you've ever wanted to see the cosmos, but not too keen on buckling up for a rocket, high G, explosive controlled ascent into space, you're definitely in luck. And the Space Perspective will bring you there in a balloon. So the Titusville, Florida-based company just completed the assembly of their first pressure vessel, which they must have. This is a test capsule of their spaceship Neptune that Space Perspective will use as they begin a series of test flights in their trademarked space balloon ascent system. Now, I've been following this a little bit, not a lot, because you don't get too much information from it. But if everything goes smoothly during the vehicle's shakedown flights, the company hopes to begin flying people to the edge of space as early as the end of this year. And that's 2024, so that's exciting. How much the tickets are, I don't know. How you get to get yourself a ticket, it's like you're trying to get a ticket for a rugby match or a football match or a tennis tournament. Absolutely impossible unless you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody else. So, with the largest windows ever flown to space and a spherical design that allows the roomiest interior of any human spaceflight capsule ever made, including a loo, would you believe? And that's something to look forward to. Let's just take the text messages. Black hole's powerful eruption creates a string of stellar jewellery. That's down in Cloudy Kildare from Alan. And a brilliant flow of information. And enjoying the program as usual. And Geldof gave up on being a tennis Tito, so he's evidently not going anywhere either. So thanks, Alan, for the update on that. Sorry it's cloudy down there. It was quite a nice day up here, in fact, all day. Sun was out for most of the time, but I'm not sure what exactly it's doing just at the moment. Now, just keeping with SpaceX launches, the team, as we call it, SpaceX, have launched an Indonesian satellite into orbit, and this was aboard the SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket, which successfully deployed the Miraputi 2 satellite into orbit, making a significant step forward in enhancing broadband internet access across Indonesia. Isn't it really amazing that we only have to go up about 250 miles or a little bit more maybe to be able to see around the world and be in contact with everybody very, very quickly. So that happened on February the 22nd at 3:11 p.m. EST, which is about 8 o'clock in the evening. At 8 o'clock, in, yes, definitely in the evening, our time on February the 22nd. Just before we go, just a couple more bits and pieces. 3 years later, the search for life on Mars continues, which is great. Now, I love the planet Mars. It just has it for me. Just to think that one of the tributaries of the canyon up there is bigger than the American Grand Canyon in Arizona. It really boggles. So, exactly how big it is. And of course, Olympus Mons, the biggest volcano, 30 kilometers high. And if you were to walk up it, they say that because it's so wide at the base that you wouldn't actually feel the tilt as it goes up. So it would take you quite a long time to get there. So just going back to the search for life, water on Mars, it continues. And the Perseverance rover touched down on Mars a good while ago. It's been collecting rock samples along the 17 miles of the ancient river delta. And I have a photograph actually in front of me here, so it's well worth Googling that. And it's quite flat with ripples and things that would have been made from water or water ice carving through the planet as well. So it's still up there. And it's so cool that we're exploring another planet as well. So that's Professor Andy Kracha. And he teaches in the Department of Geosciences in UC's College of Arts and Sciences. So there we go. Anyway, that is just about it for this evening. Thank you indeed for your company. And that email again is for comments and questions, astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Ben back next week. I'm looking forward to that. And thanks to James Sweeney and Connor Lennon for making the show available on astronomy.ie. So that's all from me, John Dixon, for this particular edition of the Astronomy Show. And now it's music all the way until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. I am on here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Next, Threads, Bren Linnet's really eclectic collection of music. It's brilliant, and I listened on the way home every single week, which is great. From 10 p.m. to midnight, we veer to the Globe with Nigel Wood with his world music. Midnight After Hours with Dave Barry, which include jazz, blues and soul until 2 a.m. And you can join myself and Ben the same time next week, 7:30 till 8. When we'll be back with the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thanks for listening. Say goodnight, John. Goodnight, John. Night-night. And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's begun, and everything under the sun, is it true? And the sun is a great spider.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.